Look to your neighbor and say, I'm glad that he redeemed me your way. I'm glad he redeemed me. Bless you all. You may be seated. What a blessed hour that we're living in. Those that truly know the Father and that have truly been redeemed by the blood of your sure Messiah. For the testimony burns fervently in their hearts. And above all things, that one desire to know the perfect will of Almighty Yahweh. You're not going to find it in the television sitcoms. You're not going to find it in the arena of football and basketball. You're not going to find it there. You're not going to find it in the cares of this life or the things of the world. And there is where they are looking for the perfect will of the Father, and they will never find it. It starts with the Torah, the law of the righteous one. First of all, we must be governed, brought under the power of government. This is a generation that doesn't want to be governed. They despise him. They hate him. And they detest his laws. You say, I love him. And the world would say that. Messiah said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. He commanded the apostles how to even pray. When thou prayest, prayeth our Father, which art in heaven, holy is thy name. And do the world pray that way? Does it acknowledge the Father? It acknowledge God, lords, and all kinds of spiritual beings, but it doesn't acknowledge the one who said, don't take my name in vain. We cannot take his name in vain to say that it is a worthless piece of trash. Then Messiah's name, whether it's Jesus or Lord, is a worthless lie. Because without him, you have no living word. And the word of Yahweh was made flesh. So without him, you have no living word. Now this corrupt generation holds on to its traditions. Yet there is no perfect law that work in their hearts. None whatsoever. The righteous laws of Yahweh, they are appalled by it. They reject any kind of correction. They reject any kind of righteous instruction. Because it is a very lawless generation. It doesn't possess the laws of Yahweh. It's a generation, a people of iniquity. The lawless one of iniquity is working in the temple, the tabernacle, or the building of man. So they are lawless today. They will not adhere to what Yahweh speaks. They will not obey what he says. They believe that he will compromise with them and capitulate to their way. Yet there is no heart to be transformed by the renewing of their mind to prove that which is right, holy, and acceptable in the sight of Yahweh. They don't want that today. Man rejects that. He wants his own way. And he wants to do his own thing. All the ways of a man, all of his ways, all of the ways of a man, they're pure in his own sight. Everything that he does, he thinks he's pure. But Yahweh, he pondereth, or he weighs the balance of the spirit of man. He will say to man, you're not right. And man becomes very perturbed with that. He becomes very angry. He always say, I will establish in the midst of this generation men that shall proclaim my power and authority. You will have no doubt at all. You shall know them that labor among you. You ought to. Your man marries a woman. He doesn't know her in the first year or two. It takes a period of time. He begins to understand her. She begins to understand him. They began to understand one another. And so what this lawless generation says today, you said something that was not acceptable by me. So I don't like that. And so they began to challenge the laws of Yahweh. He said he would give pastors. He did not say you would elect them. He did not say you would establish them by some kind of contractual agreement. He said, I would do that. And Messiah, to make sure that all things were still according to the will of the Father before he ascended for his last venture, he made sure he descended. And he gave gifts unto men. He installed the power and the authority of Yahweh in men. Because Messiah knew he was the head of man. Yahweh was his head. That's what Scripture says. Yahweh is the head of Messiah. You can look at that any way you want to. Messiah is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. Period. Settle. All in a nutshell is finished. Can't add anything to it. And you certainly cannot take anything away from it. Now, is that what man wants today? No, he doesn't. He doesn't even know the Father. Most of the world, the majority of it, have never heard the pure message of Messiah preach. I know what I'm saying. I know what I speak. I want to read something. Near a little, an article I want to read that I saw this morning in the Observer. Today's word is just going to be a word to the heart, regardless of what direction I take. But I want to read this because it's very astounding. I say, Yahweh, this nation and the people do not know you. I want to read this. Quote verbatimly what the article says. It's in the Carolina Living section. And on Shabbat, they usually have a religious type of formats. They esteem those in the religious world and those that they esteem as the patriarchs or the great ones in this religious world. I want to read this to you all. Do you hear me, please? I know this is a generation that is difficult in hearing what the Spirit says, but I want to read this. Now, most of you all don't know this man, but I know of his father. I don't know the father. His name is Osteen. He pastors this large congregation in Texas. Now, the old man passed away. At one time some years ago, I don't know if you all recall, someone sent him a partial package. And there was a bomb in the partial package. He was very renowned because his face was all over the television and newspapers. He died some years ago. And out front of the whole house, they have flags of every nation in front of their congregation. I don't want to call it that because it's not. And so what these men do, they raise their sons up, like Jimmy Swagger, Oral Roberts, all of them. They raise their sons up to continue the legacy. Now, it is not the legacy of Messiah. It is the legacy of their wealth and to make sure their names are entrenched. So they name the ministries after them. T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn. So they utilize their sons and their daughters today and also their wives. So when the old man passed away, his son took the helm of that whorehouse. I want to read this. It says, Evangelist Osteen headed to Charlotte. So he's coming to Charlotte for a revival. It says, one of the nation's hottest evangelists is scheduled to preach next year in Charlotte. Joel Osteen, pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, and known to millions nationwide through his television show and books, will host, quote, an evening with Joel Osteen, unquote, at 7 p.m. March 4th at the Charlotte Coliseum. Tickets at $10 are available through Ticketmaster. He gives the telephone number. And this is what I really want you to hear this. It says, in a profile on Osteen, the Orlando Sentinel wrote that his gospel of optimism and telegenic good looks have turned him into a fast rising star in the nation's evangelical firmament. Did you hear that? Has nothing to do with what they say. It all has to do with this optimistic approach. God wants you to have it all. God wants you to be successful. And because he is telegenic, that his appearance from television seems to be very acceptable. And people can identify with his feminine kind of a look. Of course, I looked at this, and this what they call telegenic and good looks. I prefer to look the way I look today. All right? If this is what they esteem as a very charming man, and a very handsome man, I prefer looking with gut and all the way I do than that. So it's not the hearing today. It's not the hearing, it is the perception. And so he has the characteristics of darkness. And that is what this generation wants. It doesn't want a man to tell them of their sins and what is inappropriate before Yahweh. They will come dressed like Jezebels. And they will fill the place at $10 a shot. It will cost $12, $15 to park the car when they go. And the Colosseum will be filled with the spirit of whoredom, vileness and wickedness. And most preachers in the area will go to strengthen the hand of this child of hell, that they make converts of darkness, to bring them into the dark perils of darkness. They promise them optimism, and they bring them under the bondage of darkness. Yet this is what America esteems today. This is what she wants. I do not want to be associated or part of anything that is identified as what we call, quote, Christianity. I do not. This is a vile thing today in the nation. It is corrupt. Yahweh's hand is not on it at all. He's given them over to hell. He's given them over to darkness. And what he is doing in this hour, he's bringing a revelation of the mystery that has always been hidden. He's opened that understanding up to his people, that they may know whom he is. Not in the form of a religious, corrupt tradition that we call Christianity, but in the purity of whom he truly is, through the eyes of Yahshua Messiah, that we may truly see our Father and truly know him and call upon him. These men, like Osteen, the Benny Hinn's, and the corruptors of the world, they're gathering the tares. They are angels, and I use that expression, they're not the Melechim, they are angels of darkness. And they're transformed themselves with their telegenic perception, their good looks, their height, their built, their $1,000 suits, $1,000 alligator shoes, and so they appeal to the masses. Just like Pilate said, who do you want? Do you want Messiah? Or tell me his name. Barabbas, yes. And yet the world cried, give us Barabbas. And that is what man wants today, this spirit of insurrection. They want to rebel against the Father. They despise him. That's why today this nation is so under darkness today. In their pagan activities, their pagan Christendom and celebration, they're so blind they cannot see. The lust of the eyes, the pride, there's a convulsion of lust today in this nation. I read the articles how these lying preachers, they're not preachers, well, they are. He said they're dumb dogs, the pastors are. How they gave their seal of approval to what we call Christmas. And said, it's a wonderful thing, it's not only about things, but it's about family. And those are the first things they identify. Well, if it's their Jesus' birthday, it ought to be about him, should it? And if it's about him, then it ought to be what he commanded man to do, ought it? Should it be? I believe that. And yet they're so corrupt in their thinking, they don't even know saints. They shall seek and desire the truth. Because your way shall send a dearth, a famine in the earth. And the most compelling warning of that, he said, and they shall not find it. And they can't find it. So they promote an Osteen that cannot lead them to truth. He gives them this optimistic view and tell them that the picture is going to be roses, rosy. Well, then what about the suffering of Messiah? Did he not learn the most important principle in his life through suffering? And he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Did he not suffer much? Do we not bear about the suffering of Messiah in our bodies? Yet this lying generation, it doesn't want to receive that. He said, though he was rich, he became poor. And so we ought to be poor in the goods and the things of this earth because they hold you back. They prevent you. They stop you from going on into the excellence whereby Yahweh has called us to go on into. So these kinds of men, they are esteemed, not some lowly, no-name preacher like me. Believe me, I am a nobody. And I bless Yahweh for that. I truly do. There's only one thing that I do know, that I am his son. And that's more important to me than to own the riches of this entire state. I'd rather be known as a son. And a man that proclaims the identity of my father, for I know him. I know who he is. An interesting article that I read in the Observer this morning. That children of all religions, makes no difference if they're Buddhists, Rastafarians, pagans, they all find some kind of intriguing value to Christmas. It carries and it resonates a sound that they all can accept. To love. To be sweet. The most prominent commandment of all saints is this. Is to love Almighty Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and all your strength. And then you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then upon these two hinge, that's going to open every door and every law of Yahweh. For the first four, deal with the Father. When you love him, you will honor his name. It will not be a vain thing. I will not be ashamed of his name. I will not be ashamed of Messiah's name. You deal with the first four that deal with the Father. That's what you deal with. And you loving him in the next six, why would you want to covet your brother? Why would you want to try to commit adultery with your brother's wife or your sister's husband? Why would you want to literally murder someone? Why would you want to do those things? And the strength and the power of doing everything that Yahweh commands us, it lies in loving him, saints. and then loving your neighbor. But this is a generation that doesn't love. They have a love of hypocrisy. They do. He gives us opportunity in this hour to do good, but to love all men. And he prefaced that with, now you make sure you look after the body. Now, if you don't take care of your body, how can you take care of someone else's body? If you don't love you, how can you love someone else? How can you do it? If there is no consciousness of your welfare, then how can you be concerned about someone else's welfare? That is the hypocrisy of this nation and the world. And they tell the people, well, I love you. You are a liar. It's best not to even say it. It truly is. It truly is. They will visit this whorehouse with this man. He looks even effeminate. To me, he does. I don't think Yahweh intends for man to carry himself in an effeminate way. No, whatsoever. I don't think Yahweh intends for man to sit under some kind of beautician and stroke his hair like a woman. I don't believe that. I think it is nails manicured and his toenails pedicured. That is an abomination. That is Egyptology. It's the same thing has happened in the world today, daughters of Zion. That's why they call them cosmetologists. They go out into the cosmos and invent these crazy hairstyles that some of you sisters are aware. You better cleanse yourself from that. You watch all these men that design these clothes, these effeminate perverts. You daughters of Zion, there are ways that you holy sisters ought to dress. Period. You don't try to dress with the fashion of the world. You don't wear things that are tight on your body that you can see every nook and cranny. You dress what become holiness unto Yahweh. You don't go out the fashion things. You don't make your hair fashionable like women of the world. They've gone into the cosmos and they've drawn these designs from the cosmos. That's where they've gotten them from. You dress as becoming holiness unto Yahweh. You don't let some pervert dig in your hair that you don't even know. It's wrong. And so this is what the world wants today. It doesn't want to be fashioned after Messiah. It wants to be fashioned like the world. Well, we got to learn obedience, and the only way you're going to learn that, you're going to suffer in that flesh. If we suffer with him, will we reign with him? Are there many affliction unto the righteous? Sure it is. Sure it is. The world doesn't know him. It doesn't know the truth. Now, the truth has not been spoken to the masses of the world. I want to tell you something, saints. I have an acute ability to listen, and I do hear things, especially things that I believe that are important and vital for us to understand the principle of it. It's a good understanding to understand the principle of adding 2 plus 2. It is. It is. It's a good principle understanding how to count 1, the first day, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. It's a good principle. And as I was listening the other day to NPR, I heard a statement. I said to my wife, did you hear that? Of course, she did not hear it. And they were interviewing one out of the Bible institution in Israel, Jerusalem. What they do, saints, they take scripture and they translate them into many languages of the world. And they had a linguist there, a linguist from Nigeria. It was something that actually blew my mind when I heard it. I know the different languages of the world. I know about how many different languages there are. But he said this. That literally blew my mind. He said, in the nation of Nigeria, do you hear me? Not in the continent of Africa. In the nation of Nigeria. Do all of you hear what I'm saying? I said, the nation of what? Nigeria. He said, in that nation alone. Just that one nation. In Nigeria. Do you hear me, Sister D? You're sure? In Nigeria alone, there are 505 different languages. Not dialects. Not tongues. 505 different languages in that nation alone. There are over 6,000 languages in the world. And what we call scripture has only been translated into 400 different languages. And the thing that actually caught my attention above all things when they asked him a question. Do you hear me? I hope you hear me, saints. They asked him this question. How do you, in a language from that nation, convey the things that are spiritual to a people that have not been taught? And these are his words. He said, those kinds of things are the things in scripture that are basically in other languages. They're simply metaphors. Do you understand that? What a metaphor is? He said, what we will do is take some form of spiritual worship of what they call God or their worship. And we will take the metaphor of that language. You see, in many languages, they don't have things to describe Lord and God and Christo. He said, we will take the metaphor of that language and we will use that metaphor that they will have a consciousness of actually what is taking place. Then how is the message of Messiah is going to be preached? Tell me. And as I began to listen to that, Yahweh spoke to my heart. He said, there's only one way, son. Only one way. There's only one way that this profound truth is going to be uttered. That a man that is from the coastal region of Nigeria will know the wonderful words of Almighty Yahweh. And that is by the Kudush Ruah, by the Spirit. This religious trash, what they have said is the Spirit, is a lie. It is based upon the principles of shamanism and hell. It is not the Spirit of Yahweh. It is not. So that leaves about 6,000 languages that have no written text of scripture. None whatsoever. And when they translate scripture in different languages, they take metaphors of languages. It can be associated with a pagan being, and they take the metaphor because that is the only words that they have concerning worship, and they use those metaphors to bring them into a consciousness of what it is to worship, quote, God. That's what it is. And that's what they've done with Yahweh's name. They've used this metaphor, God, that has no true meaning. No whatsoever. Instead of the true identity that he is the mighty El. That's what he is, the mighty one. And because of this religious corruption of the mind, should they, people don't want to hear that. They don't want truth. They don't want that. Now tell me, saints. I could have understood if he said there are 505 dialects. Because a dialect, what you have a principal language. Say it's French. And the basics of the words are based upon basically French words. It may be a little altering of the sound, but yet you can understand from one people to the other. You can understand the language or the tongue. That's the difference between a dialect and a language. A language is an individual type of tongue that is spoken. I will show you in scripture. It's a tongue that is spoken that only those of that language understand that, or those that are learned in that language, or learned men in that language can understand. So how do you get a message out of Messiah to 505 languages without the metaphorism? How do you do it? You can't associate him with pagan. See, no man by the Spirit calleth Messiah a curse. And these men are not walking in the Spirit. That's why they call him a cursed thing. That's why they can take the metaphor of some kind of strange shamanism and say, this is Messiah. This is what he is associated with. Not so. He is not associated with Buddhism. He is not associated with the pagan religions of the Africans or the Nigerians. But those in Kenya. He's not associated with the pagan religion of the Irish or the Germans or the Russians. He's not associated with that. He has one identity, and that is with Almighty Yahweh, with the Father. His kingdom is the eternal kingdom. He was born from above. Sure he was. He was birthed by the Father. Now I know in all kinds of pagan idolatry, all gods of birth. They all are. You do any research on Greek mythology and Egyptian mythology and any kind of mythology, every god is birth. Every god is birth. Every god is birth. Every god has been birthed by some form. But there's one thing about Yahweh. He had no beginning. And he has no end. He's the mighty El. And he wasn't birthed. He just is. And his name tells you that he is. That's what he is. That's what he is. Buddhism, they're birth. Hinduism, they've been birthed by some physical form, but Yahweh has no birth. He just is. Because he's the mighty one. No beginning and no end. Where are you from? From me. I'm just who I am. And that is who he is. So you have all these different tongues and languages of the world. How do you speak the message of Messiah? How do you find a name in one of those dialects that will say Jesus? There's only one language, and that's the pure language of Yahweh, where the name of Yahweh is just Yahweh. You tell them his name is Yahweh. That's it. And so what name you associate in their language with God? Is it some form of pagan metaphor that they use to worship their gods? That's what it is, saints. This is an ignorant generation. We're so ignorant. We're so unlearned. Shaul, he declared that there was ignorance in him. And we're an ignorant generation. We don't want to identify our own ignorance because we are full of pride. We think we know and we don't know nothing. He said, I will give you men after my heart, and they will feed you. See, when a man is truly after the heart of Yahweh, he will not charge you $10 to get into a place. You buy a ticket through Ticketmaster. That's the same place that Jezebel Buance and the rapper Jazzy Z sell their tickets through. You tell me he's supposed to be a man of God. Well, certainly he is a man of God. I believe that. He's just not a servant of Yahweh. That makes the difference. He worships his God. And his God is the power of the earth. And don't tell me, hypocrites, that Shaitan has the same identity as Yahweh. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me the scripture calls him God. Well, that's a small g. You are ignorant, world. The meaning is the same, whether small or capital. It has the same definition. He is not Lord with the capital L or Lord with the lowercase. It is the He is Messiah, the anointed one of Yahweh. So how do you convey this profound truth of utterance to a generation that have never heard the very truth of Almighty Messiah? There's only one way, saints. The Spirit of Yahweh, that Messiah said, I will pray to the Father, and he will send you another comforter. It is not this crazy, gibbery, jabberish mess. These women acting like morons in the assemblies. These men falling out, looking under some woman dressing like some whore, dressed up to her knees, up to her buttocks. That's not your way. That's not the Spirit. Dressed in pants and talk about they feel what the Spirit of Yahweh, they're liars. Painted up like some Jezebel that actually fought against the very man of Yahweh, Elijah. He said, we're going to find out whether your mighty one lives today because I will call upon my God. And the man of Yahweh said, the dog shall eat your bones, you Jezebel. And that's what the dogs are doing today. Yahweh has allowed the dog spirit and the beast spirit in these whorehouses. They're rejected. It's true. Why? Because they don't love his truth. They want a man that is telegenic. They don't want a man like Pastor Roberts that will stand and boldly declare their sins and their corruption. Even when I preached in Jesus' name, I declare that. They don't want that today. It was some optimistic preacher tell them that the economy is going to do well and you're going to prosper. No, you're going to suffer much affliction in this economy. And it's not far off either. He never promised you riches and houses and land. Lies from hell. Never. Well, Abraham, you know they will not tell how Abraham was willing to give it all. When he took his son to bring before the altar of Almighty Yahweh, he knew the heart of Abraham. So it wasn't the things that he had. Those things did not bind him. This trust we call Christendom, they're bound by those things. And the only way that little man over there on the coast of that region island, that I've never heard this profound truth, and the matter that Yahweh intends for to be preached today is going to have to be done by Spirit-filled men. They're not truly filled with the Spirit. And when they speak, they will know one thing. Can I tell you? Will you believe me? They will know that they're hearing the wonderful word of Yahweh in their own tongue and their own language. I believe in the tongues, but it's not this trash what they use it today or what they utilize it for. It isn't. Spirit of darkness. I want to read because this is vitally important in this hour. Men must be filled with the Spirit. They must be empowered by the anointing of Yahweh. This pervert like Osteen, he has no spirit of Yahweh. He's filled with the spirit of darkness. And that's why they will come with their dark countenance. They will dress up like dark beings, and women dressed up like whores, like Jezebels. It's out of Yahweh. You don't go to the cosmos, you go to the Father. A woman should not adore herself or deck herself in any way like the world, or emulate the world in any way at all. I would warn all you daughters around here, I don't want to see your legs. I don't want to see your legs. You wear things that are long enough. I don't want to see it as wrong. You're holy. Don't tempt me. I don't want to tempt you. You dress in a way that is pleasing unto your way, that bless Him. You don't dress in a way that you're an Adam and you can show yourself that there's parts of you that are seen. No, you don't do that. You dress in a way that is pleasing and clean unto your way. That's how you dress. You're holy. Your aspirations should not be like the world dress. Your daughters are not the ones to dress in the floozy fashion they dress with in the world. Dress in a fashion that becomes holiness unto Yahweh. And clean and pure. Now I want to read what Scripture says. Men today say they have the Spirit, and yet they cannot even speak by the anointing of Yahweh. They cannot speak. I'm telling you the truth. He did not give us a spirit, saints, to go... He didn't give up the Spirit for that. Don't tell me, sisters and brothers, He gave you the Spirit to lead you into every kind of corrupt thing that you do. Lead you away from the fellowship of the righteous into the arms of the wicked. That's not the Spirit of Yahweh. You desire the companionship of the world and not the fellowship of the saints. Don't tell me that's a spirit. It is a spirit, but it's not the HaKadosh Ruach. It's not that. It's not that. It's not what Messiah said that He would pray to the Father. He prayed to His Father, right? And He knew His Father by name. He didn't call Him Lord. He didn't call Him God. He called Him Abba, Father Yahweh. He knew His Father. And that is no disregard and no dishonor. For He came to make known the Father's name. And the Father's name had to be known. That's why He said to the Father, Father, you make or make your name magnified. He said, I have, and I will do it again. And saints, we're in the hour where Yahweh is going to make His name known unto His people. How do you get the word out to those that are 6,000 languages that don't even have a copy? Not one copy. Not one copy at all. Scripture has only been translated in the 400 languages. And everything that they use, they are metaphors and languages that are not in other languages. There was one thing that I learned years ago. There was a young man by the name of Buntia Sahara. He was from Laos. And he said to me that your language is so confusing. He said, in my language, there is one word for everything. No other. So in our language, just say if you use God, you got Lord, you got God. You got Jesus, you got all these different names and titles which have no value at all. In his language, he said, if you see a cow, it is just a cow. In this language, you got a heifer that has never produced a calf. You got a calf, that the calf goes from a calf to a yearling, from a yearling to a cow or a bull. That's how it is in this country. When you say son, what does that mean? S-U-N or S-O-N? You don't know. So many variations of words. It is a confusing language. Do you understand why Yahweh confused the language of Babel or Baal? That they will not continue to work. And that's what he has done. This language is confused today. He doesn't want them continuing this putrefied puke that they're putting out today, saints. He doesn't want that. They can say what they want to. We come in the name of Jesus. I believe that. I come in the name of the Lord. I believe that. They will tell you, God bless you. I believe that too. But they don't know the mighty one. Your way is where the blessings flow. And no other place. No other place the blessings come from but the Father. I want to read in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Messiah says, he said this to us saints. Do you believe it is in scripture? He says, now whatsoever thing you will ask in my name, he said, I might do it. He said, what? Give me some response now. He said, I what? For what purpose? For only one purpose at all. That his father may be magnified and made known. That's why he said, I'll do it. Because you're going to know where it's coming from. How do we deny simple scriptures and truth like that? I want to begin reading in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It's important that I begin that. It tells us, and when the day of Pentecost, it was come, or the manifestation of the fullness of that day, when it was in its prime, or the festivity of that day. He said they were all in one accord in one place. They had one mind. Just like the Messiah and the Father, there's one accord between them. He did not come to do any other will but the will of the Father. He had no will but the will of the Father. That's why he declared in that tremendous prayer, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Now whose will was he doing? He was doing the Father. I believe that, Mother Millie, he was doing the Father's will. But what Father did he work for? Messiah said to a group of people, you are of your father. Well, who was their father? He called their father's name. He said, the devil. Is he not a father? So what father are you praying to? What father do you acknowledge? And actually, in the Hebraic tongue, it would not even be pronounced that way as father. Abba. There's a different word, Levi, for a natural father. He's the one that carries the law. Sure it is. You know, it would be good to take time to learn things that are very vital and important instead of learning trash. I don't care who Jenny Lopez slept with. I know she's a whore. She'll sleep with anything that moves. I don't care what Buance is dressed like. She's dressed like a dog. She has a beast spirit. I don't want to spend my day watching the Knickerbockers and the Wizards play basketball. I don't want to spend my day doing that. Or see who win the NFL AFC title. I want to see the banner of Almighty Yahweh to make sure that banner is over me and that he is love. Sure, that's what I want to see. And so the manifestation of this day was fully come. They were in the high place, and that was the tabernacle. Now, I know, saints, I know what we have learned. It says they were in the upper room, but there was only one place they could be. And that was in the high or the mountain of Yahweh, and that is the tabernacle of Almighty Yahweh. There was a place where by the Spirit of Yahweh, where he dwelt. And his anointing filled the place. So on that day, they were in, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and a rushing mighty wind, and it filled, it says, all the house where they were sitting. Shemayim. It filled the house of the place of worship where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues or split tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. It identified everyone. And they all spoke one language, didn't they? They all spoke one language. They all spoke one primary language. They all spoke the same language. If they didn't speak the same language, then what I will read in here is a lie then. It says, and they were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of Yahweh, and they began to speak, not just with tongues now, it says other languages or the tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now what gave them utterance? The Spirit. The Spirit, saints. I believe Yahweh can send a man to any nation of the world, and he can speak in that language. I do believe that. I believe that. You know, men will say, God knows all languages. Well, I know Yahweh knows all languages. He's the one that gave man language. He's the one that gave the animals language. He gave them sounds and harpings and certain different sounds, but yet they know the language. And so they all began to speak in another language or tongue that they had not been accustomed to speaking with. Now, you know why I did it that way? I do believe. I do not believe that Yahweh will allow the strength of man to say, look what I've done. They cannot say, look what I've done. That's why they began to mock them, again to speak against them. He's not going to allow us to say that. He's not going to allow you to say, well, look what I preached today. That was a profound truth. I preached that. No. You're going to give honor to where honor is due. And if you have the Spirit of Yahweh, it will come and speak the things that it has heard. That this what man called the Spirit is not speaking by the voice of Yahweh. He's speaking by the Baptist tradition, the Pentecostal, the Methodist, black man's tradition, Caucasian tradition. How is it that all these men were of different parts of the world, weren't they? I'll show you. And yet they all spoke by the same anointing. Well, why is it in the white assembly they do things different? The black assembly they do things different? In the Hispanic they do things different? And yet there is no agreement amongst any of them and when it comes to the worship of Yahweh. Because the Spirit is not right. And that's it. Spirit is not right. It must be a pure worship unto Yahweh. And you must have the Spirit to do that. I want to read. They were all filled with the Spirit. They began to speak in tongues. And the Scripture says this in verse 5. And there were dwellers of Jerusalem, Judeans, devout men. Now that's a profound statement, devout. Men that their hearts and their lives were given over unto worshiping Yahweh or to know Him. Men that their hearts, they were serious men. If you actually look that lexicon meaning up in the Hebraic, it means men that their countenance, their heart, their minds were serious and they approached unto Yahweh. It was not with jovialness. It actually used that expression, but it was one that was very serious. Very intently, their minds were very sincere. There was not any folly or misuse of the things of Yahweh. They were sincere. They were set in granite like. Nothing would move them. They were devout men. Out of some of the nations under heaven. Out of what? Out of what? Out of what? Out of every nation under heaven. You tell me Yahweh did not have them assembled at that day? Well, that was just Yahweh. Lies. Scripture talks about proselytes. What is a proselyte? A new convert. Someone is converted. Gentiles. They were proselytes. There were all kinds of men. Medes. I will read what it says. And yet they heard the word of Yahweh. There were men there from every nation. Every nation, every tongue, every language, every language. It says, now when the noise abroad, the multitude came together and they were confused, they were confounded. When they heard all this talk and say, what is this? 120 and they all speaking? It looks crazy. It looks confounding. It will confuse you. And they all came together. They all began to gravitate. Here they hear this great arousing of noise. Don't you know that noise draw people? You can be someone, you hear something, well, what's going on over there? What is it? You want to find out what's going on over there. And so they all began to draw near. They say, what in the, oh my, do you hear that? And the one standing beside him spoke in a totally different language. I hear that. The Spirit of Yahweh. Say somebody against, don't say I'm blaspheming the Spirit of Yahweh. This what man is doing is a blasphemy to the Spirit of Yahweh. They have taught us to actually literally blaspheme. Because of our ignorance, we just didn't know. And just because of our ignorance, he said, I can't charge him with that. They have literally taught us to blaspheme and to reject or to grieve the Spirit or to bring a breach upon the Spirit of Yahweh. They have taught us things that are totally flat out wrong. We have all been taught that, starting with me. And I don't have no pride to say I haven't been taught those kinds of traditions and rituals. It is a thing that Yahweh has always done for this man of Yahweh. He has always guarded his heart and never allowed those tradition things to succumb him or to rule over him. Even men that I've met, and everything in my life he has charted for this reason and to bring me to this point and this place in time. I believe that. He allowed me to submit unto men with all diligence and purity and honesty of hearts. Sure he has. Yet he will not allow them to break the spirit of righteousness of the law that he had placed in me. He allowed me to suffer many things under them. They did many things against me. They come against me. But yet that did not cause me to come against them or to do them evil. Because they did that. Lies, RG Stare can say what he wants to. They can say whatever they want to. I did R.G. Stare no wrong, and he is a guilty pervert. And of all the men, I haven't wasted Yahweh's money getting on the air trying to deal with that circumstance. I'll preach the name and the truth of his name. That's what I've preached. No, I haven't gone on the radio and spent broadcast after broadcast talking about that child of darkness. For what reason? They're deceivers and liars. There were men there from every nation under the earth. Men from every nation. Do you hear me, saints? That's what scripture says. They were from every nation. Every known nation, the Roman Empire, every nation there was, men were there. And there were men coming there for one reason, for the festivity of the feast of Almighty Yahweh. They were not just gathered there for some kind of religious pervert activity. They were there for the holy convocation of Yahweh. And that convocation is the elect, call out holy people that set themselves apart to reverence the Almighty One. That's what a convocation is. And so they were there to hear. They came to hear. They came to hear. And what a profound utterance that Yahweh uttered that day. They came with their ears open to hear. That's why, saints, I tell you all, not one assembly in Revelation that Yokohara, as the Spirit of Yahweh spoke unto him, the thing that he concluded with all of them, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the assembly. And this trust, come on, baby. Come on. That's not the Spirit speaking. He speaks in a language whereby he gives you understanding to the heart. You may pray in tongues, yet your desire is to, Father, I want to understand what that tongue of praying is. It may do something for my spirit, but I want my whole man to be complete. I want it to be complete, thoroughly furnished, to know, to have no doubt. And so there were men there from every single nation under the heavens. And when the noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were a little confused. Verse 6. Because every man heard them speak in what now? No. It says what? No, what? His. H-I-S. Every man heard him speak in what? His. Now I don't believe the actual every nation that was represented is represented in these names of nations that's there. Oh, I don't believe that. There are 186 nations in the earth today, isn't it? There were 120 in that great assembly. Hallelujah. And even from that, you still haven't gotten but 62 more nations. Yahweh knows how to count. And that's why he had 120. He didn't need 500. Why? Because they got confused. Hearing what they were speaking. What about this? He said, I heard him over there. What? No, he wanted the undivided attention. So he had enough for every nation there. I believe that there were 120 different nations and ethnicities or tongues there that day. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. That's why he had 120 there. And they all spoke. Now, if he had had 500 there, you'd have had two speaking in the same tongue, wouldn't you? Or three. And then she would have been confused. Say, what is he saying? Then he would have shown up and said, these are lunatics. Yet he had one to say unto old Jephro, the Syrene, thus saith Yahweh, for this profound truth that you have seen and heard of, Yahshua Messiah, for this is the witness of my testimony and my covenant. And his heart was smitten. Instead of a truth, I know this is of Yahweh. Sure he did. So he only had one for every nation. He had one to speak for every nation. He had one to speak for every nation. And they spoke in the tongue of every nation there. We need the Spirit. But if he decided to send Deacon Benny to a little jungle in Kenya, or Brother Dale to a little place in India, or Brother Nee Smith to a little place in the Philippines, how do you speak? Well, we got interpreters. Then does Yahweh know all languages? So he knows how to interpretate, doesn't he? He does. They were there from every nation. There were 120 there abiding, waiting for that great outpouring. And he had one there to speak to everyone. He had one there to speak to everyone. He had one there to speak to every nation that was under the heavens. He said they were confounded, and they said, we hear them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, and they marvel, said one unto another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean, are not all these Galileans, do not they all speak the same language? And how? Hear we every, not some, but every man in our own language wherein we were born. Every last one of us, we hear them speak in the language where we were born. The language we were brought up in. The language we were taught. We hear them speak. How was it done? By the Spirit, saints. He did not send us the Spirit Deacon here for some kind of little trivial type thing. We have breached the Spirit of Yahweh, saints. We have done it in our traditions, in our religious fervor. We really have. Men with their great and honest intent in their ignorance, they just didn't know. I've been a part of that. Now you may say you haven't, but I have. I didn't know. But it's one thing that old evangelist Hartfield taught me many years ago, 25 years ago. He said this to me, Brother Roberts. He said, Yahweh, long as your heart is pure and your desire sincere, your motive must be pure, and I've never allowed that to escape my heart. For my motive has always been sincere and real. I don't want to pretend, saints. I don't want to play what we call some kind of whorehouse or church. I don't want to do that. And I want to know the truth, for in that power, I'm free from all traditions. How does it come? Well, Yahweh must anoint a man. He anoints men to declare the power of his throne. He doesn't use women for that. No, sir, no, ma'am. She can prophesy, and that's good. She can speak in tongues, that's good, as long as it's in order. But she has no authority to take authority over man. Not in the house, not in the tabernacle, not in the marriage, not in decision making or anything. She can discuss that with the husband, and he is the final arbiter and say, this is what we're going to do. Even though her suggestion may be the best, if he's a wise man, he'll take that and utilize it. If he's a fool, he will not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture tells us in verse 9, it says there were Parthians, there were Medes and Elamites. Now, not just men, but there were dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Yehuda, in Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia. How many different countries are in the continent of Asia? Tell me. How many different languages? Just in Asia. How many different languages? How many languages do you think in this nation are spoken in America? How many do you think? I'll tell you, it's over 500 languages. In America. And some folks don't know one word of English. There were 500 different languages spoken in America. Out of 300 million people, over 500 languages.
spoken every day in this country. What do you think the most spoken language in the world? What language you think is spoken more in the world than any other language? Say it. Huh? I love you all, but wrong. It's Mandarin Chinese. No other language spoken more than that language. Mandarin Chinese. I tell you, I buy one of those little almanacs every year. And I like to read it because there are little things that I like to learn. I just, certain things on my mind, I can always find it in there. But that's the most spoken language in the world. Mandarin, Chinese. Mandarin. English is second. And Russian is third. But Mandarin, Chinese. Over a third of the people of the world speaks that. Not English. But Mandarin. You would think they would write the scriptures in Mandarin. They don't have many scriptures in Mandarin Chinese.